Well, so you guys have all likely heard this phrase. So if you know it, say it with me. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Words will never hurt me. You guys know it. You guys know it. So did you ever find yourself saying those words or maybe yelling them at someone on the elementary playground? I sure did. I remember you guys being in kindergarten and going outside to recess my first week of real school and finding that my first grade neighbor, this kid that I played with often and really looked up to, was already on the playground. And I'm like, yes, this is my buddy, right? And so in my excitement, I ran up to him to play, not realizing that this was like not cool because I was a kindergartner. And in his embarrassment, he ran away from me screaming. And he ran away from me screaming this, "Go away, Jacqueline Puke Sawyer." Which now you know my maiden name and my full name. It's fine. Good times. He said, "Jacqueline Puke Sawyer." He said it like that. And do you know what all the little first grade boys that he was playing with did? They decided that this was hilarious. So they start screaming, "Jacqueline Puke Sawyer," and running in circles around the playground where I was. And like over and over and over, just like, and I, y'all, to this day, I hate that word, puke. I hate it. I hate it, and I don't want to be called it, right? And it's kind of funny now, but at the time, I was so hurt, and I was so furious, and I was so confused by the fact that my friend was now teaching his friends to run in circles and call me names, that I yelled this out. I said, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me," right? And I just screamed that because in my little kindergarten brain, that was how you combat being called Jacqueline Puke Sawyer. Here's the problem, though. As silly as those words were, they hurt. They hurt. And they didn't stop. I heard that name every day for weeks. I got on the bus in the morning, Jacqueline Puke Sawyer. I walked down the halls, Jacqueline Puke Sawyer. I got on the bus to go home, and what did I get called? Jacqueline Puke Sawyer, yes. And this went on, you know, for weeks, and just when it finally fizzled out because they had found something else to focus on, Halloween came around. And somebody in my class decided my name sounded like Jack-O-Lantern. So then I became Jack-O-Lantern Sawyer. Kindergarten was rough. and there you finally have the story of why I decided to go by Jackie. I was just like, I'm just changing it all. We're going to switch it up. Just, we're done with all of that. And that's kindergarten stuff. But you can likely relate to it. And likely by the time you've reached young adulthood, you're wishing the worst thing someone ever said to you was some silly kindergarten name, right? Like, we're probably all like, that would be great if that was the worst words I had ever heard in my life. I think that would be great if it was the worst words I'd ever heard in my life. And I really think I've come to think the opposite of the little playground phrase. I really think it should be sticks and stones may hurt my bone, or sticks and stones may break my bones. But sometimes words hurt even more. Sometimes words really do hurt even more. And we're not taught to think about it that way, but I think they do. So please bear with me tonight. I don't think I've ever done a full teaching on this topic, and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to come at it with humility because I know when it comes to using right words in the right way, I don't always get it right. I honestly think that's what's made me so passionate about it. Because the words we say are so important, and so often we lack the wisdom and understanding to truly understand the impact our words can have. And it's something the Lord has really been pressing me about over the past few years to take seriously, just my words and how I use them. And I've seen that the wrong words can do real damage. As passionately as I desire this, I also desire that Chi Alpha would be a place where we use our words well and we can be trusted to speak with wisdom and kindness. That's really, like, that's one of my prayers for us as a community here on campus, is that we would speak with wisdom and kindness. So I've been doing a deep dive, really slow read through the book of Proverbs, recently, and I've been amazed as I look at it deeply, just how much the Bible says about our words in the book of Proverbs alone. So in the book of Proverbs alone, me, in my own reading, I've counted so far, I'm not done, but so far I've found 124 Proverbs that talk about our words and how we use them. 124. Y'all, the book's only 31 chapters, so it's like a couple verses a chapter at least. Some of the chapters, it's like they were just really thinking about how we use our words at that point. And y'all, that's just one book. Jesus also has a ton to say about our words. So do James and Paul. It turns out that we can conclude from the sheer vast amount of times how we use our words comes up in the Bible that God really cares about how we speak. He really cares. So I want us to look at what we can learn from Scripture about what words we should or should not speak and how to use them well. And I want to frame everything as we talk about this tonight through these words from James. So we're going to start in James chapter 3. And in verse 2 it says, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body." That would be great. "If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For if every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." So this is what James says in the third chapter of his very, very short book. He takes up this much space just talking about our words. This is what he says. And he gives us two examples. The first one is a horse. And if you've ever ridden a horse, like a lot of times we put a bridle on the horse that has a bit in its mouth. And if you pull this way, the horse, right, goes this way. If you pull the other way, the horse goes the other way. We get it, right? And it's like just by that little piece of metal in its mouth, it steers the whole animal, right? Or in a boat. I don't know how many of you guys have been in boats in college. I went to UTK and I was on the rowing team, and my job literally was the coxswain, which is the person that like leads the run and steers the boats and says, "Row, row, row," right? And it's crazy because there would be this giant long boat full of 8 women and myself, and they're like strong, powerful women. I like strong, powerful women, right? And they're like rowing this huge boat, and I would do this, and the whole thing would turn. Right? Like the rudder is powerful. It's like this tiny little thing, but the slightest movement and that thing's veering off to the right or left. And if you steer it wrong, you get what happened when my fellow coxswain was steering her boat and rammed right into the middle of ours during one practice, right? Not fun. We want to be aimed in the right direction. And so he's saying that our tongue, like both of these things, still steers the course of our whole lives. And it's evil. That's what James says, it's evil. We have to get it under control or we're going to end up where we don't want to be, right? If we don't control what we say, we're going to end up where we don't want to be. Then James points out the inconsistency of our tongues, because he says sometimes we praise God with our mouths, like we just did. We praise God with our mouths. And other times we use our mouths to argue or gossip or say something discouraging or demeaning. And James, what he says is so right. These things ought not to be. They ought not to be. The Amplified Version actually adds, "These things, my brothers, should not be this way. And then it says, for we have a moral obligation to speak in a manner that reflects our fear of God and profound respect for his precepts. So we're supposed to speak in a way that reflects God and his word as believers. Y'all, that's kind of heavy. I don't know about you, but I think that's kind of heavy. What we say matters. So in my study of Proverbs, I found several themes about how we're to use our words. And I'm going to go through these fast because they're a lot. It's not a pretty, like, three-point deal, okay? There's a lot of them, but I want us to get this. So there's Proverbs about lying. There's also one of the big 10 commandments about lying. We're not supposed to do it, right? But Proverbs 26, 18 through 19 says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. Or Proverbs 26, 18 says, a lying tongue hates its victims and a flattering mouth works ruin. We're not supposed to lie. We're supposed to tell the truth. Then there's Proverbs about honesty and integrity, which is the positive side of the lying, right? Proverbs 19:1 says, better a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. So saying it's better to be poor and honest and live with integrity than to be rich and to be somebody that lies and has their mouth steering in the wrong direction. There are many, many, y'all, many proverbs about gossip or slander or sharing what should be secret, or what the book of Proverbs calls the whisperer, right? That comes up many times. Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. And Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. And I pause here for a second on gossip, because a lot of times I've heard, I don't know where we got this idea, but I've heard, well, it's true. Is this saying it has to be untrue for it to be gossip? It's not. It's just repeating something that we ought not repeat. If it's not ours to say, God says don't share it. There's Proverbs about boasting or bragging. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. There's Proverbs about quarreling and arguing. Proverbs 26:21, it says, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. So fellas, don't be a quarrelsome man. And ladies, this one's even funnier. Proverbs 25:24 says, it's better to live in the corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Right? So like, those men, they'd rather be like in a corner of the attic than have a wife that's arguing with them all the time. There's Proverbs about right words at the right time. Proverbs 25:20 says, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. So it's saying if somebody is like in a really heavy, sad place, don't just make light of it, right? Like we need to respond appropriately. Proverbs 25:25 says, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. So this is like sharing good news at the appropriate time. But we need to know when. Then it talks about choosing when not to speak. And I really like this theme because a lot of times this is the one we forget the most. Like sometimes just we don't have to say anything. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So want to stay out of trouble, like maybe say less. Proverbs 17:27 says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. And then Proverbs 17:28, I put this in the NLT because I thought it read really plainly. A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Right? And you guys, there was a perfect example of this in one of my college classes. I sat next to this girl in one of my lit classes, and y'all, she was a mess. She did not pay attention to the professor. Like none of that. And she was in like a whole lot of like troublesome business that she shouldn't have been in. And we sat right next to each other in the front row, but she just sat there and took notes. And you know who the professor's favorite person was? That girl didn't say nothing, right? I tried to answer the question and got it wrong, and then she like disliked me from week one. But my friend that was right next to me that I made in the class, like she was like, oh, be like her. You know, all the students here a little bit more were like, you know, but man, did she make a good impression on her professor? Sometimes we're thought really wise just because we are wise enough not to open up our mouths. Right? That's like one of my favorites. Just a fool is thought wise when they keep their mouth shut. It talks about wasted words or speaking to fools. In Proverbs 23:9, it says, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Talks about too many words in Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So if you find yourself and you're like in a conversation and you're just rambling, man, I feel like if I ever find myself, I'm like, ooh, I should slow down, because I'm going to say something that I didn't want to say. Just like slow the roll. Don't say too many words. Talks about hasty words, so not like thinking ahead. In Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So it would be like hasty and rash in what we say. And then there's deceptive or seductive words. There's so many proverbs about this, especially at the beginning of the book. But Proverbs 24:9 says, devising a folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to mankind. So there's a whole lot there about how we use our words. A whole lot. And I think as we survey that, I encourage you to think about like one or two of those that you're like, I can maybe work on that. I can maybe work on that, right? Because there were a whole lot of things. But that means there's a whole lot of ways that we can get what we say really right, and there's a whole lot of ways that we can get what we say really wrong. But I'd say we've kind of extensively covered about using the right words. There's also this concept in scripture, Proverbs and elsewhere, that addresses using words in the right way, right? So it's not just saying the right thing, but it's saying the right thing in the right way. The most concise section of scripture I could find on this was what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. And there's like tons of other places it addresses the right words in the right way. This was just like a concise one that I thought might be familiar for some of us, so it would be helpful. You might recognize these verses possibly from a wedding, but have you ever truly applied them to your words and to how you speak? So it might kind of be some of the context here. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And you guys, I've read that scripture so many times, but it really changes for me when I run what I'm saying through that. And I'm like, man, like, am I bearing all things? Am I irritable? Am I being kind, or am I envying or boasting? Like, if I'm speaking and it's any of those things, should I be speaking? Maybe not. But the basic idea here is that if we speak without love, it's useless noise. Context matters. Context really matters. How we say a thing matters. It's not enough to just say the truth. It is so important to say the truth in love. And so my youth pastor, back when I was in high school and I came to Christ and I was in youth group, he did a teaching on saying things in love, and he used this verse. And as youth, because we like to be smart and savvy and really funny about things, we decided that we would say everything in love. We were like, sure, we'll say everything in love. And he was probably rebuking us rightfully, because sometimes we could be like really mean. We were really sarcastic jokers. We were practical jokers. So I can see how he was like, we should work on this, youth, right? And so we decided that we would be like, hey, your shoes are really ugly in love. That is not what I mean. That was completely taking things out of context, but we thought that was really funny. So that's not what this means. But we would just be like, that was a bad decision in love. Okay, that's not what we mean. That's not what this means, right? And it was like, that was such a picture of like knowing the right thing and choosing to do the opposite. Like, and we just thought we were so clever. But then really kind of as we did that, the Holy Spirit convicted us. We were like, that wasn't in love. So like, why would we say that? I could just be kinder, right? And like, does it really matter what shoes look like if they got you here on your feet? Not really, right? And like, if somebody's struggling in something and we feel like the Lord is leading us to address that, man, we should be so gentle. We should be so gentle because we all struggle, right? So that's not what that means. It's not youth group, blah, 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 in love, right? But if it happens in your life that you do need to say something difficult to someone else, I encourage you, pray about it first. Pray about it first, okay? Don't go tell them, and then when they get mad, be like, God, can you believe when I told them this, they got mad at me? Pray about it first, okay? If you're angry, pray about it first. If you see someone doing something unwise or sinful, pray about it first. If you've had an argument and you're trying to go make it right or tell them your side of the story, pray about it first. Like, you guys get the idea, right? Pray about it first. So often we rush out to say what we think needs to be said, but we fail to realize that if we say it in the wrong way, we may actually do more damage than good. Like, if we say it in a harsh way or in a rude way or in like a way that tears somebody down, we might do more damage than we do good. Ian Bounds has a book on prayer, and in it he says this: talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. He will never talk well and with real success to men for God who has not learned well how to talk to God for men. So what he's saying there is like, pray more about people to the Lord than you say to people about the Lord, right? And if we get that right, we go into our conversations, we go into our evangelism, we go into our life groups and into our day so much wiser and so much more ready to say things that will glorify God and represent him well than if we get it the other way around. Last, I want to look at what Jesus says about our words. And I'll be honest, this scripture, if you've been in my life group or something, you've probably heard me share this one. I've shared this one a lot. But this scripture truly haunts me. Like, it is one that has kept me up at night. It is one that has woken me up in the middle of the night and unsettled me so much that I couldn't go back to sleep. So you're welcome. But I didn't say it. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said it. Right? And it matters. It matters. But I'm going to forewarn you, like warning ahead, this scripture haunts me. In Matthew 26:37, Jesus says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And you guys, like, that has kept me up at night, many a night. We're going to have to give an account to every empty word we've spoken. And this word in Greek, it's argos, which means idle, lazy, thoughtless. unprofitable, or injurious. So anytime we've spoken those words, we're going to give an account for it. And Jesus' point is that we should guard against speaking thoughtlessly and avoid talking without thinking. And often we either like to ignore this verse altogether, or we assume that it's meant for non-believers. We're like, oh, well, that's the non-believers that'll stand before God. The problem is that the context of this verse makes it pretty clear that Jesus is speaking to everyone when he says this, not just those that don't believe in him. That's why Matthew 12:36 is so haunting to me, because I know there are times that I speak without thinking. I know there are times that I just vent or let myself ramble or say something I regret out of anger or frustration. And based on this verse, Jesus tells me one day I'm going to stand before God and give an account of why I said that. You know, and I'm betting, since God is a good father, he's probably not going to just take, like, I don't know as an answer. Because, like, as a mom and Matt as a dad, when our kids, when we ask them something, they say, I don't know, it's not really a good answer, right? We're like, and? what else do you have to say, right? So I don't think he'll just take, I don't know. But we're going to have to, like, remember it and give an account for it. And since reading this and really understanding it and studying this verse like several years ago, I've determined to try and at least make the accounting much shorter in this next part of my life than I did in the first part before I understood this. Like, I'm like, I may not add anything, but I can certainly shorten it, right? And try and account for a little less than I would have if I didn't pay attention to my words. So you guys, our words matter. They matter so much. And it grieves my heart to touch on this topic, because I believe this is one place that we as Christians so often get following Jesus so wrong, so very wrong. So often we just brush aside what Scripture says about our words, determining that surely they aren't as big a deal as, like, doing drugs or having sex or whatever we've deemed, like, a big sin in our minds. Only Jesus doesn't see it that way. To him, sin is sin. And I believe his heart is so grieved at how those of us who say we're his people use our words for evil and destruction. I believe that really grieves his heart. Y'all, I've watched the stupid, hurtful words of God's people destroy lives, literally. I've watched people lose jobs over gossip. I've watched people become anxious and depressed from hurtful joking. I've seen people become suicidal as a result of harsh things that have been spoken. I've seen friendships severed, marriages broken, churches and ministries split in two, all because of words. Words. Our words matter. And James says careless words are like playing with fire. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small spark. We have to care about what we say, and we have to care about how we say it. So now we're going to take some time to respond. And I'll admit, this is not your typical salvation message, and this is not your typical salvation altar call. But I will say that if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I encourage you to seek him. Look at his word, look at the Bible, and pray and ask him to be a part of your life, because it's the most important thing you can do, and those are the most important words you'll ever read or interact with. But as I prayed about this, I really felt like we should just kind of sit with these points tonight, because so often, many of us that are here on the regular, we hear altar call and we're like, oh, that's for the lost people. And mentally, we just like flip the switch off. We're like, this might not be for me. I'm just going to vibe in my seat, right? Or pray for people. And sometimes we just, not consciously, I don't think we're like trying to be bad, but we're like, I'm saved, check. And then we're just kind of like, let the altar call go. And so it's like really why we're just going to kind of sit in this. But our main focus as we respond tonight will be on these three areas. First, as we've been talking, you realize you struggle with saying the wrong things. And the Lord's convicting you of that. I'm going to go ahead and explain this. We're just going to take some time to sit in the Lord's presence. And I encourage you to talk to him in your seat. You can journal. You can journal on your phone if you want to write it down. So you remember this is what me and the Lord talked about we're going to work on, right? But the first thing is if you struggle with saying the wrong things. The second is if you struggle how to say the right things in the right way. Those are different, but they're both really important, right? And third, if some of you guys are here, and it may be that someone's words have really hurt you. And as you hear this, you're just like, man, I wish more people knew this, and it's some hurt is coming up for you. If that's you, I really believe that the Lord, as you sit in his presence tonight, wants to just work some healing there in hearts and in minds, just to kind of let some of those things go. Because y'all, people will say things and it'll stick, right? Like I told you a story from kindergarten. And it's like, yes, I have worked through that. It's funny now. But sometimes things happen when we're that young and they stick and they hurt us all the way into adulthood. But Jesus is so good that he can take the sting of those words and he can pull it out. And he can redeem even those things in our lives. So as we respond, we need to be like Ian Bounds encouraged us to be and talk to God about men more than we talk to men about God. So we're just going to take a few minutes to sit in God's presence and ask him what changes we should make and how we use our words. Or ask him to please heal that area of in our hearts where words have hurt us. And then we'll close in prayer in just a few minutes. So I invite you guys to pray.